Great. Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to our annual GE Investor Outlook meeting. Today's meeting is being recorded and webcast, and all that information can be found on our website at www.ge.com/investor. We'll have a Q&A after Jeff's presentation, and as always, this room's pretty big, and we're trying to record everything for the webcast, so please raise your hand and a page will bring you a microphone, and then fire away. After Jeff's Q&A, we'll have a leadership reception hosted by Jeff and the leadership team, so plenty of time to get more questions answered in that session as well. As always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking based on the world as we see today. Those elements can change as the world changes. Please interpret them in that light. And I'd like to directly turn over to our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt.
Good afternoon, everybody. We'll just dig right in. Again, I think what you'll hear today from us is probably similar to what you've heard with some of the other companies that have had outlook meetings. I'd say we still have a fair amount of economic uncertainty, but we feel like we face this with a lot of liquidity, a big backlog, good competitive position. And we've got great momentum on margin rates. We feel good about how we're positioned both in 2012 and 2013. We've invested in organic growth, and so we want to see that trend continue. We continue to make progress on the industrial financial services split. We made good progress in 12. We see that continuing in the future. And you've seen kind of our capital allocation balance between buybacks and dividends. We had another big announcement last week. So we continue to execute on the capital allocation play the way we've outlined it. We always talk about a mosaic when we think about GE, that we always have, in this environment anyhow, we have tailwinds and things are in the mix and headwinds. So I would say we still like the gas-oil split in terms of tailwind. We still see tremendous demand in our oil and gas business and aviation and things like that behind new products. I'd say mixed is the demand for credit, the amount of investment. I would say demand for investment, certainly in the U.S. in the fourth quarter, was slower. And the headwinds are areas like wind, PTC. We're just not counting on having that going forward in the future. If you took a look at the macro, we see China getting better and the resource-rich places that are the GE hub, the GE core, if you will, still pretty strong. Mixed, we think the U.S. consumer continues to be stronger and housing gets better. But there's no doubt that the fiscal uncertainty slowed activity in the fourth quarter of the year. And then, we think Europe and Japan will remain slow, but stable. I think we've all kind of adjusted and continue to adjust to those markets. In terms of the 2012 framework, we really have no change to the earnings framework for 2012. We'll have positive earnings growth in each one of our industrial segments. It's been a while since we've seen that. I think, a tougher macro environment, but still see good, outstanding performance. When I stood here a year ago, we said organic growth between 5 and 10%. In September, we said 10%. I think we see right now organic growth at 8% with a slightly tougher macro environment in the fourth quarter. But still, 8% is two or three times most of our peers, pretty strong organic growth performance. And we feel like 2012 is turning out to be a good year for the company and positions us well for the future. We set forth last year five goals for the company this year. Strong industrial earnings growth, we see that continuing. We still see good, strong industrial earnings growth. Margin enhancement, we still are on track for the 30 basis points of improvement this year. Getting cash from GE Capital, $6 billion of cash from GE Capital in the year. Making GE Capital smaller. GE Capital will be less than $420 billion of ending net investment. And returning cash to investors. We'll return more than $12 billion of cash to investors this year through dividends and buybacks. So basically on the five key goals we set out for ourselves in 2012, we basically have hit and had pretty good accomplishments along each one of those. So just turning to kind of giving you an update on where we stand from a strategy standpoint and a portfolio standpoint. Our strategy really hasn't changed. I'd say it's all about the portfolio, strong infrastructure and industrial portfolio, a very valuable specialty finance key initiatives in technology, services, growing in emerging markets, and running a lean cost structure and productivity, having a lot of cash to invest and investing it in a disciplined way, and continue to have core enablers across the company that drive core strengths and using our scale and financial strength. This is basically the play we've been running over the last 4 or 5 years and continue to do that today. When I think about the portfolio, you know, I really think about it in a couple different ways. You know, we continue to grow the industrial financial earnings split. We see that progressing each year. We've set on the chart here, our goal is 70%. We see getting to 65% by 2015. And that doesn't assume any big disruptive actions that, you know, we could still accelerate this if we saw good opportunities. But this just assumes in our own control what we can do over the next few years. We want our earnings and cash to be ahead of our peers. We want to be in the top quartile in margins and returns. We want to have valuable capital allocation from a standpoint of dividends and buybacks, focus and disciplined execution on the portfolio. So we see making general progress on the portfolio every year. We've laid out here things that are just in our control as we think about how to get the industrial earnings continuing to accelerate and grow. And I would say in this cycle, or for the things I talk about vis-a-vis the portfolio, is really a focus on being in good markets with some economic tailwind, a focus on really driving key investments to grow infrastructure, continue to make our businesses more valuable, and really laying out kind of what are some of the ideas we have for the next iteration of GE Capital strategy. So why are we in the businesses we're in, or how are our businesses positioned? You know, I would say that we have been, you know, really created a portfolio that is able to capitalize on some of the big secular tailwinds in infrastructure. There continues to be good growth in the infrastructure world, and we continue to capitalize on that. We're positioned in countries where there is strong investment and incentives to continue to grow infrastructure, places like Africa, China, Russia, Middle East and Africa, Latin America. There continues to be good investment there. And we just have some big themes where the company has a leadership position. The natural gas revolution, we can play there from an extraction or power generation standpoint. Growth in China and the resource-rich regions, we have very strong footprints that can capitalize there. In the area of advanced analytics, I'll talk a little bit more about how we're combining that with our service businesses and how it can drive more efficiency and growth. We're positioned around healthcare and energy efficiencies and some of the big productivity themes that are going to drive the next few years and additive manufacturing, simplification, things like that. So we've tried to position our company at scale to be able to capitalize on infrastructure, grow in big growth regions, and have some real tailwinds as it pertains to how we think about the company going forward. Now, we've invested to build some big franchises. This just gives you an idea of one of the places where we've done some capital allocation in the last decade in building about a $15 billion oil and gas business, one that's growing margins. We're well-positioned in the faster growth segments, places like subsea, drilling and production, unconventional fuels, LNG. And we kind of think about how you GEize a business like this. I mean, I think the core strength is technology. We have an opportunity to really differentiate our technology in this field. Very strong focus on customers who we know on a global basis. Adding services into the mix in terms of how we do CSAs and use sensors and activities like that. Supply chain execution. This business really is driven by how well you manage these big projects. And then just how you develop the team and the talent and the bench. And I think when you look at all these areas, this is a place where GE can continue to invest and build strong leadership over time. So oil and gas, I think, has been a pretty good story. Now, the acquisitions that we did, you know, as we redeployed capital from NBC University into NBC Universal into energy have all really done fairly well. So you see the segment profit we have. The core of these acquisitions is growing about 20% a year. We're a couple hundred million dollars above pro forma, and this just gives you a sense of how they've done. And we've used the formula I talked about in terms of the ability to drive differentiation. I'd say in Artificial Lift, which was a business we acquired from the Wood Group, we're seeing the opportunity to take the Global Research Center and drive innovations, and we can gain market share in that area. In the case of Convertim, which is a power conversion business, we'll get $600 million of orders in Convertim in Brazil this year. This is a business that didn't really have much of a footprint in a place like Latin America, so that's a key synergy. In the case of services and solutions, we've been able to package a lot of these products and services in the unconventional fuel space, being able to drive big benefits in businesses like Waukesha. And all of them can benefit from our supply chain. All of them can benefit from our manufacturing base. So we've really been able to generate a lot of acquisition value ahead of plan, and we see that continuing in the future. Now, our adjacencies all are in various stages and continue to make good progress. These businesses are growing in excess of 10%. It's a variety of different investment types from life sciences, where we did an acquisition, are now adding mainly through organic growth, the same way with distributed energy, the purely organic activities in areas like energy storage, where we have a leading sodium battery technology. So we continue to find ways to invest. These investments scale over time, and we think over the long term, you know, the combination of small focused acquisitions an organic build will continue to allow us to build out this adjacency space, which is quite substantial and growing quickly. Now, we also continue to invest in our core businesses. This is an example of aviation, which is a big, successful business from a margin and return standpoint. And, you know, we've always led with technology and the ability to solve big customer problems and focus on globalization. One of the big opportunities we think to create competitive value and shareholder value over the next few years is just, you know, we have about a, you know, multi-year backlog given these big engine wars and the success that the business has had. And we've set an internal goal over the next few years to take 25% out of the running rate, the cost rate of our manufacturing base in terms of how we look at materials and manufacturing going forward. And we're going to do that by launching new technologies, these ceramic matrix composites. We've invested hundreds of millions of dollars already. These make the engines lighter and able to run at higher rates and higher heat. We've created value around fuel nozzles and electronics, and we're investing in manufacturing like additive manufacturing and things like that. So we see a real opportunity to continue to drive margins and returns as we invest in the supply chain and continue to drive growth that way as well. So that's aviation. You know, capital from, you know, the last 4 or 5 years as we've gone through the change in the tougher markets, Mike and his team have done a great job of really changing the portfolio and changing the structure of the business. I'd say if you go to the top left of this chart, this is just a much safer and a much different operation than it's ever been before. It's got less commercial paper, more liquidity, less leverage. It is structurally very strong. If you look at our performance versus peer banks on just about any metric from operating expense to net interest margin to Basel I strength to cumulative losses, GE Capital has been, you know, really at the top of the list and has done a very good job as we've gone through here. We purposefully said, you know, going back to 2008, 2009, that we were only going to do those things which were in our control. And so we've step by step by step been able to run off the assets that weren't going to be part of the company going forward and reinvest back into the core capability of the business. And the earnings have been good as we've gone through the cycle. We've written new business at a 2% ROI. We've continued to stay focused on places where we have a competitive advantage. So I think the team's done a good job of positioning us in terms of where we are and positioning us for the future. And kind of the way we stand today will be probably, you know, less than $425 billion of any net investments. There's probably $75 billion that are continue to be in runoff. We've got a nice set of core assets, which are big lending and leasing franchises, mid-market franchises, where we think we've got a strong competitive advantage. And then we've got a set of businesses in what we call value maximizing, which are, you know, the European banks and retail finance, which we're just going to try to drive shareholder value and make good decisions around those assets as time goes on. So basically what we want to do is keep shrinking the non-value or the places that are non-core. We want to keep investing in the core, which are the mid-market assets. We think that GE Capital will generate about $20 billion or more than $20 billion over the next 3 years of cash that will go back to the parent. We think we'll get our returns between 11 to 14%, so above our cost of capital, and continue to execute kind of step by step on changing the portfolio and adding value. The key strategic imperatives are to lead in the mid-market, write business in excess of 2% ROI, have very strong Tier 1 Basel III metrics that facilitate getting a dividend, to have less commercial paper and long-term debt. I mean, the big bolus of really long-term debt was this year. If you look out into 2013, 2014, and beyond, you know, the funding profile for the business is very different looking out there. And then grow alternative funding. So have, and we've, you know, are kind of in the throes of completing MetLife now, which gives us more alternatives, and continue to have good risk management as we go forward. So I think this is a business that's in our control, that's going to be a good earnings provider and cash provider for the company going forward, where we have good, solid competitive position, and we'll continue to over time keep this between $300 and $400 billion of ending net investment. So that's the goal. From a capital allocation standpoint, you know, again, we continue to want to focus on balanced capital allocation as we look at dividends, buyback, focused acquisitions. You know, we still see $100 billion of capital to allocate over the next few years. When you look at NBC Universal, we've done a pretty good trade, I think, for GE investors. We've got a fast-growth set of assets in our oil and gas and energy space that are growing 20% a year. We still own 49% of NBC Universal, which we think is going to be very valuable going forward. Now, from an M&A standpoint, we are still focused on bolt-on acquisitions. You know, last year I said $1 to $3 billion. That's still primarily the range that we're going to keep in. I'd say it could creep up to $4 billion in that range. I don't see a big deal. I see everything bolt-on could creep above the $3 billion on the top end and over our sweet spot and with execution. So next, and just finally, just on the dividend, you know, we've had a good history of dividends. We announced a 12% increase on Friday to 19 cents per share per quarter. 12% dividend growth kind of in line with earnings and how we think about the strength of the company going forward. So now just kind of shift gears and talk about strategic execution and how we see the world going forward. So, you know, I'd say that when the leadership team gets together, we kind of say, you know, we got to win where the business is. So you got to travel the world to win in the places that are growing where the business is. And we've got to continue to redeploy. We're going to drive efficiency really hard and continue to invest in growth. And that's kind of the plan you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of structural cost out, both in 12 and 13 and continuing 14. But you're still going to see a good pipeline of NPIs. You're going to see a good pipeline of services. You're going to see a focus on global customers. And you're going to see both those things, or all of those things, as you go through the plan and how we think about the future. So, you know, there's four key initiatives that drive, you know, the company. It's technology and the enterprise driver of technology is our Global Research Center, which is led by Mark Little. The growth markets is, you know, kind of the enterprise driver there is a global growth organization led by John Rice, where we try to tie it all together. Services is a service council led by Steve Bowles, who's here today, leads our power and water business. And we've created a software and analytics COE in California. And then margins and operating, we're really driving those on something called GE Advantage, which is led by Charlene Begley. And those are the ways that we try to drive the enterprise strength in these four key areas. When we think about next year, we kind of are saying organic growth between 2 and 6%. Wind is about 3 points. So it's you know, translational, you know, consistent with the 5 to 10%. We think the growth markets will grow in excess of 10%. Services will grow in excess of 5%. Margins will be at least 70 basis points. So we've got loaded in the internal plans more than 70 basis points. We see a positive value gap, and SG&A as a percentage of revenues will be down at least 100 basis points next year. So lots of structural cost out. Returns ought to be up 50 basis points. We think CFOA between industrial and capital will be $17 to $20 billion. And we expect to return more than $12 billion back to investors by way of buyback and dividends. So that's kind of the right-hand side really gets spread out around the company and how our leaders are measured and how we think about the company going forward. So, you know, technology counts. I would say we now have technology in the run rate. I would say technology as a percentage of revenue will be flat to declining as years go on. We've got it dialed into 2013 to be flat year over year. We have the same way with 12. We've got good systems advantages, centers of excellence, a real strength. And when you look at 2013, you're going to see lots of technical strength in the marketplace. You're going to see a broad array of products, investment in services, and a lot of new products launched. So we've continued to invest in technology and R&D, and we think that's to the benefit of investors. Some of you were in Greenville. Next week, we've got a ton of gas turbine development underway, ranging from very small industrial gas turbines at, you know, 1 to 5 megawatts up to big block gas turbines, 300 megawatts plus. So, you know, we just think gas is good. You know, gas is going to be, you know, the place to play, both in terms of the United States, but also the rest of the world. And we just want to have the right product array, both off the grid and on the grid. And we see that as being very important. The right-hand side is the Flex 60. You know, our priority was multi-fuel and flexibility. I think that's proven to be pretty right, given where renewables have been and given some of the places where we sell that have multitude of fuel. So I think we're very well positioned for the next gas cycle. And then we just have density of products. You know, we've got Silent MR, which, you know, we launched at RSNA. I remember when I went to the healthcare business in 1996, I got scanned by all our products, and they put me in the MR, and I said, hey, guys, this is broken, man. Listen to this thing. You know, it was made the big thumping sound. So I think Silent MR, G9X, which is a fit for the next array of 777s if Boeing decides to go that way. Biomanufacturing, where we've got really almost the best and strongest position in the world. Lots of oil and gas, subsea Christmas trees, blowout preventers. This is a battery-powered shield hauler. This is one of the mining products that we acquired with new GE guts inside. So that's what we've always planned to do with that product line and some Mission One appliance products. So we got a lot of technology coming through the company in 2013. Now, the one place I've talked about, I think last year, that I'll continue to talk about is the amount we're investing in manufacturing technology. A lot of these new engines are going to be facilitated by additive manufacturing and better capabilities in our plants. And we also have a lot of what I would call cycle time reduction investments in things like manufacturing analytics and process modeling. So, you know, we've kind of set internal initiatives around driving cycle time and cost of these new products down, and manufacturing investment and capability is one of the ways that we think we can do that. Services are key. Investors know how valuable our service franchise is. We continue to drive growth in installed base, growth in dollars per installed base, and margin. So this is kind of installed base growth, dollars per installed base, and margin are the big drivers of this business. We have a huge backlog, so we have, you know, kind of this connection with our customers. And one of the things at our industrial internet event I talked about in the case of GE is the power of one. You know, 1%, you know, fuel burn savings on a fleet of jet engines is $2 or $3 billion for the industry each year. Same way with fuel efficiency on gas turbines, 1% operating of performance at a railroad. You know, so they use a thing called velocity, right? 1 mile velocity for a railroad is billions of dollars investment of productivity for our customers. And so that's really where we focused, using machines with sensors, advanced analytics, and capability in terms of driving distributed workforces. This is a place where I really see internal development, not acquisitions, when we think about where we are and what we need to do. So we'll have 20 offerings next year, and I divide them up into three buckets. The first, on the left-hand side, are what I call asset optimization. These are technologies that make our assets work better. So, you know, the flex efficiency is a way to get more energy output from our installed base. Customers pay for that. They know how to monetize it, a real strength. What I call facility optimization is where we can make both our products and the relevant installed base of our competitors work better. So something like fuel and carbon is a way we can go to an airline and get more fuel out of the system that they have. And then network optimization is the customer's workflow. So in the case of Caradigm, this is the Microsoft joint venture. This is going to sit on top of a hospital's EMR, so it'll sit on top and drive better decision support. So in this capability, like I said, we're going to invest organically about $1 billion over the next 3 years to try to build capability, and that's centered in our operations in California. And then this is how you put it all together. Our transportation business has a great service franchise. The transportation business will get 8% growth per installed base next year. So, you know, it's really driving real performance, and it shows how we win and our customers win. You know, service margins are really driven by having CSAs, reducing work scope, improving performance. That's a win-win for our customers and us. Asset optimization reduces the amount of failures. Again, if you're on a CSA, that's a win-win for the customer and us. Operational optimization, these are things like movement planner or other yard planners where the customer uses all of our assets and their assets, and we help them run them more productively. And then just getting more out of the installed base in terms of upgrades and modifications and things like that. There are a lot of old locomotives out there so that we can grow. So, you know, services is key. I would say we're investing more technically in our installed base right now than any time I can remember. And this is going to drive margins up. It's going to drive dollars per installed base. And I think also make us stickier with our customers as we go forward. So I think this is a big deal for us. Growth markets are key. You know, I'd say we've always had a good global position. Putting John in Hong Kong has helped us have even a better global position. This shows our growth markets that we identify are growing in excess of 10% in 2012 and in excess of 10% in 2013. So very strong, great GE story. The enterprise is really about the brand. It's about having good local partnerships, localization, supply chain, on down the list. And again, what I talked to investors about in the past that we really like is we're diversified. We're not totally dependent on one country. We have a fleet of countries. We think it's always important to be good in China, but we think these resource-rich countries that basically get pulled along as China grows, these are places where GE has a huge competitive advantage, and we feel great about our position in both of those. Now, you know, globalization has really transformed our industrial business models. I show up here both healthcare and transportation. You know, healthcare will have in excess of $5 billion of revenue in the growth markets this year, growing double digits. We've localized products. We've localized sales forces and capability. And this is a great engine of growth for healthcare as we go forward. As the developed world restructures the markets in U.S. and Europe, it's great to have this ballast in the business, and I would say GE is very well positioned competitively along those lines. Similarly, you know, the transportation business is diversified in a way it's never been before. It's got basically about half the business now in growth markets that are growing rapidly and much better able to withstand the cycles that go through in the North American rail market. So real competitive advantage in these spaces. And again, you know, GE is the partner of choice. So we've got a good array of partnerships, diversified partnerships in Russia. We've got two joint ventures with state-owned enterprises in China, one with AVIC in the avionics space and one with XD in the T&D space. We've got a big realized company-to-country relationship in Saudi Arabia where we've got localization of some manufacturing, and we can work across healthcare, energy, oil and gas that gives us a competitive advantage in that space. And we're working very hard in Nigeria and Angola, which are two resource-rich countries as places to drive investment and capability. So John's busy, and we continue to drive pretty decent global growth in the key growth markets. Margins, you know, we talked about, I think, at EPG getting 30 basis points of margin growth this year, 70 next year. We feel pretty good about where we're positioned and how we're positioned. We just have more momentum going into 2013 than we've had in a while. We think the mix clearly gets better vis-a-vis wind shipments. We'll have more GNX shipments next year, so we think mix is about equal. Lots of strength on value gap, lots of strength on product cost, R&D even, big tailwind in simplification, big tailwind in service margins. So we see pretty good capability and momentum in margins. And then we see, you know, each business is a little bit different in the way we manage it and what their critical dimensions are. I just put up here healthcare. So we've got in each one of our businesses a multi-year goal for margin rates, and we kind of review these frequently with the businesses. In the case of healthcare, it's really about simplification, product cost, service margins, and value gap. We've got very detailed programs with John. He's going to have a good 2012. We expect more momentum as you go forward. So we really have, I think, surrounded the process and accountability around margins when we think about how we're positioned for 2013. There are three big drivers in margins in the industrial businesses in GE. First one is value gap. This is our ability to price versus raw material inflation. We've got pretty good pricing and backlog as we sit here today, and I would say from a sourcing standpoint, there's just better markets around the world. So we see good value gap, maybe one of our best value gaps in 13 in recent memory. And then there's wage inflation and other inflation, which will be slightly better in 2013 versus 2012. There's product cost. So again, we're about $60 billion of material and conversion costs. That's where we've used our GE Advantage projects to drive improvements there. Clearly, we have a big team looking at how we accelerate the learning curve on these big new engines. You look down there and you see winning in subsea. So any of you that follow oil and gas companies, you know that one of the biggest margin detriments is how projects are, you know, how orders are placed, what the margin is when you begin a project, and what the margin is when you end a project. So we've got 30 or 40 GE auditors that are in what's called a winning and subsea team that have just focused on nothing but how you make sure you drive margins all the way through to completion, and they've made great progress in that business. And then the transportation business, what we call disruptive cost workouts, where we really tear apart our products all the time and cut in new lower cost systems. So we see lots of good momentum on the product cost side as well. And then, you know, last year I talked about simplification. I think in the September meeting, we talked about $700 million to $1 billion of cost out. I think our goal is going to be higher than that, in excess of $1 billion going into next year. We see we set a goal of 16% SG&A as a percentage of revenue by 2014. That's down 250 basis points. We're well on our way to getting there. We ought to be, you know, about 17% plus or minus at the in 13, and then making progress from there. So that's about addressing European cost structure. It's fewer P&Ls. It's fewer headquarters. It's just driving a different, leaner structure inside the company. And, you know, we've got a ton of good restructuring projects as we look at the future. So we're upping our targets on simplification when we look at next year and into the future. That's simplification. Lastly, on cash, we've got with the restoring of the GE Capital dividend and good industrial performance, good momentum and cash flow, again, we expect returns to continue to improve year after year. We're going to reinvest it in our industrial growth. We've got good returns in our industrial business, so we'll continue to grow in excess of 15% over the next few years, continue to work on margins, return more than $12 billion to investors, and drive working capital performance. So this is another big way that the leadership team is measured, and, again, we've got good momentum going into 13 in terms of increasing returns. So, again, that's kind of stepping through technology, services, globalization, margins, operations, how we're lining up as we think about 2013 and going forward. So now 2013, like I said, modest growth outlooks of organic growth up 2 to 6%. That includes the detriment of wind. We're running the industrial businesses at a lower cost base with trying to create a cost hedge, if you will, when we think about next year. So there's still a lot of macro volatility, and we're running the businesses at a lower cost rate than what we need to make our plan. We've got a lot of good restructuring projects when we think about next year, so we plan to do restructuring. And right now, we plan to do some restructuring that's not covered by gains. The base case is that the tax laws are extended while tax reform is debated. We're no smarter about that. We'll see where that goes. And we're just prepared. We've got low cost. We've invested back in organic growth. We've got a lot of cash. So we're prepared, I think, as the company looks forward into 13. So here's the framework. For 13, just a couple comments on the framework. So the way I would think about this, industrial, we are forecasting a very strong, solid industrial earnings outlook for 2013, and we've created a cost base that is lower than what we need to achieve that goal. So we've tried to create a cost momentum, if you will. So that's industrial. GE Capital, continues to be able to reinvest at very high returns. Our core businesses will continue to grow. This just reflects that E&I, may be smaller as time goes on, and we're reflecting the fact that, we're able to shrink our GE Capital book faster, and that could continue next year. So we kind of say earnings flat to maybe up in GE Capital. And then corporate, this year will be, $2.8 billion in corporate. Next year we're saying $3 billion, plan on $3 billion in corporate, but it's just a different walk. I would say on an apples-to-apples basis, to this year it's $2.4 billion. And then we add $300 million, that is the financing of the GE preferred dividend. And then we've added another $300 million that is restructuring ahead of gains. So basically what I'm saying is we've got good restructuring projects. We're going to continue to drive costs out. Maybe we'll get gains next year that'll make this number better, but we're not going to count on it as we look at next year. So good, solid industrial earnings growth. GE Capital still performing very well, but on an E&I that might shrink faster. And a corporate number that includes the preferred dividend and incremental restructuring. Cash will be good as it pertains to both industrial CFOA and capital dividends. And again, we see revenue up 0 to 5% with 2 to 6% organic. We think wind is about 3 points. So, ex wind, it would be, let's say, 5 to 9%, somewhere in that range. And then capital will continue to reflect a shrinking book. So that's the way we think about the segments and the operations going into 2013. So power and water, again, no real change from what we said in September. We see less revenue, earnings about flat, better margins. The way I would think about the energy business or the power and water business from a from an overall standpoint, I would say good operations, taking cost out, good service model, and Steve and the team have to manage this thing through the wind cycle as we go through. So Again, we don't have a lot baked in for wind next year, and that'll be $2 billion less revenue. So the team's gonna have to execute through that, but that's basically what we said about Power and Water in September. Oil and gas, we think, is got a good backlog. The markets continue to be pretty strong. You know, we're kind of launching good products. We've got good momentum in areas like subsea and unconventionals, pretty good services growth behind this. I think the trick for Dan Heinzmann and the team really is executing on the projects and continuing to drive margins in this growing market. So again, not much different than what you heard in September. Energy management, you know, we see decent revenue and good earnings growth. This business has, you know, a lot of runway to catch its direct peers. You know, we feel like the power conversion business is very strong. You know, the business that was called Convertene, we see good opportunities. I think the trick here is to drive a leaner cost base. We've got some good opportunities for restructuring and continue to grow the power conversion business. And again, this is very comparable to what you heard when we were together in September. Aviation, good organic revenue growth. You know, I'd say between up high single digits, maybe double-digit earnings growth when we look at next year. Continued growth in passenger freight, continued growth in freight. The team's got to execute on new products. We're counting on a little bit of a snapback in the spares rate. We've got to manage through wherever the military spend ends up going, but the team's got good momentum in the marketplace, a big installed base, a huge backlog, and that's what Dave and the team will be managing here. Home and Business Solutions, which is basically appliances and lighting, stronger housing, have very, you know, pretty good value gap, have good products. And I think this is just really about, you know, trying to gain a little bit of market share behind our new products, maintaining a positive value gap, and as housing continues to get better, this business is one that we expect the earnings to accelerate if we think about 2013. Healthcare, you know, again, I'd say, we're not counting on much out of Europe. We're not counting on much out of the U.S. The team's got a good product backlog. The team's got good momentum in growth markets. They've taken a lot of cost out. I'd say if we got any U.S. demand at all, this business would grow double digits. We're not counting on that, but that's probably the difference between single-digit and double-digit growth for the healthcare business looking forward. You know, again, we're not counting on much coming out of the markets. Transportation, you know, we'll have a full year of the Industria and the mining acquisitions. We're counting on slower North America because of coal shipments, solid growth in the growth markets. We're counting on, you know, being able to integrate the mining acquisitions going forward. So again, I'd say this business has a reasonably good outlook, coming off good momentum in  2012. Looking forward, really driven by growth markets and driven by the mining acquisitions looking forward. At GE Capital, we're saying flat to up slightly. You know, the core will grow, the non-core will shrink, the value maximizing will probably grow as well. We think, you know, the commercial lending and leasing business will have good positive earnings growth. Consumer will have good positive earnings growth. Commercial real estate will have decent earnings growth. We're counting on the verticals being flat, and the difference between, you know, really being up and being flat is just runoff of more E&I, runoff of more of the red assets as we look at next year, and we think, you know, this team will continue to have a really good franchise going forward. Look, we continue to work, you know, really respectfully with the Fed. We are investing in markets where we think GE Capital is competitively advantaged. We're not counting on any recovery in Europe. The capital ratios are strong, losses are low. We just think that there's gonna be less funding required as we go forward. We're gonna do more alternative funding. We just think this is a valuable franchise that's gonna be able to continue to drive good earnings performance and competitive advantage in the core assets, and continue to generate cash for the company to redeploy into industrial or other shareholder-friendly activities, and that's how I would look at GE Capital going forward. So just to summarize, on the businesses, 12 is a pretty good year. I think if you look at Power and Water, it's positive earnings. Next year, we think with wind, it'll be flat earnings. We're investing for gas turbine technology through the cycle, and Steve and the team have done a nice job of executing. Their performance versus their direct peers is quite robust, I would say, and this has been a well-run business. Oil and gas, strong growth in 2012 that we think will continue into 2013. We think this is a good business to invest and build, and we think we can differentiate with technology and project execution as time goes on. Energy management, again, we've got a big runway here in terms of if you guys look at our margin rates versus our peers, usually the shoe's on the other foot. This one, I think we've got opportunity. Dan Janki and the team, we've got some good products, better products today, an opportunity to drive that business. Aviation, look, I think if you think about the narrow-body competition, if you think about the 787 competition, if you think about the new competitions yet to come, this business is very well positioned, extremely well positioned from a market share and installed base standpoint, and we've got some good opportunity for margin enhancement as time goes on. Healthcare, up single digits this year. I'd say, like I said before, the difference between double digit and single digit is just getting some growth in the U.S. market next year, but our costs are good, our competitive position is strong, and we're really doing a great job in the emerging markets, developing markets, growth markets. Transportation, good solid earnings growth this year, good solid earnings growth next year. We've got a good runway in the growth markets and with mining, and we're counting on a slower North American market next year. H&BS, you call this a housing cycle for a reason because some days it does go up, and if it goes up, this business is going to make a fair amount of money. Our product line is better. Our cost positions are pretty good. And GE Capital, good solid earnings growth in 2012, more like flat or up slightly next year, and continues to do well in the next phase of its strategy as we look forward. So I think there's some economic uncertainty, some volatility to be sure, but we still see good opportunities for the company to grow, and we're going to drive a lot of cost out and keep investing in the places where we think we can win over the long term. So that's really the operations and the framework and how we see the company going forward. And I thought I'd end just like we did last year, here are our five goals that we'll give you a report out on how we did against these a year from now. A double-digit earnings growth for GE Industrial. We think that's important for the company, and like I said, we've got a cost-driven plan, so we're making, I think, a good estimate on organic growth. Significant cash return to the parent from GE Capital. We'd like to be positioned to get almost the same amount of cash out of GE Capital next year that we did this year. 70 basis points of improvement in margins, so we think margins are a key part of the plan, and we've got good momentum going forward. I'd say our organic growth is pretty good in the environment, I think pretty realistic in the environment, and kind of reflects the puts and takes around wind, and we expect to return more than $12 billion of cash back to investors through the dividend and buyback in 2013. And then over the long term, we want to get the industrial earnings mix up to 70%. We think that's the best way to think about the company going forward. We'd like to have long-term earnings and cash growth ahead of peers. We want to be in the top quartile of margins and organic growth and returns versus other industrial companies that you look at and admire, both direct competitors and some that are in the industry that you cover that maybe aren't direct competitors. And value capital allocation can continue to be balanced around dividends and buyback and bolt-on acquisitions that are smart, and that's really the company. So on this page is really a combination of my goals and objectives and the goals and objectives, how we get paid as a leadership team, and the senior leaders the same way. So that's the company, and